Heavenly Father, today as we stand in your presence, Lord, we honor your word. Lord, we thank you that by your word we've been born again. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Lord, today we make this clear decision and choice to believe your word. And to believe that, Lord, the word that is to be spoken from heaven to earth today by myself to this congregation of believers, your sons and daughters. Lord, we believe that that is going to happen today. Lord, we thank you for your written word. Lord, now we thank you, Holy Spirit. I surrender everything to you, and I thank you that words will come forth that will bring life, light, life, and liberty. Love, light, life, and liberty. Lord, may our hearts through this message be filled with great love. Lord, filled with life. Our lives filled with the light and understanding and knowledge and wisdom. And liberty, that there would be a freedom and a liberty today. That the word of God would not be bound. We honor your word. We fear your word. And we thank you today. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Okay, so this morning I want to speak on our calling. And may we be stirred by what we're going to study and have a greater appreciation and depth of understanding of who we are as Christians. That we're not just saved people waiting for the rapture. Okay? We're not that. And we're not just sinners saved by grace. Something miraculous happened in us in such a phenomenal way. Romans 6:4 in the Phillips translation. It's a verse that we've used probably for 10 weeks on a series that I preached called Walking in Newness of Life. I want to pull that scripture again this morning, open with it, and then quickly move to some of these other scriptures. But Romans 6:4 in the Phillips translation tells us that we can live life on a new plane. Isn't that a cool thought? We were dead and buried with him in baptism, so that just as he was raised, Jesus was raised from the dead by that splendid revelation of the Father's power, so we too might rise to life on a new plane altogether. That splendid revelation of the Father's power, resurrection power, would lift us up onto a new plane altogether. That we are no longer living in the Adamic nature. We are rising above that, and that we are always walking in the new creation man. We're walking in that new plane, that new level. That there's always going to be a new level for us to go to. How many of you say that, you know, Pastor, I've maxed out on the love walk? I don't know if I can experience any more, you know, love of God in my life. How many of you know that you haven't gotten to 1% of an understanding of the love of God? And there's so much more of the love of God. Now just think about if we can get to that new plane today, that we're going from faith to faith, and that we are growing in Christ likeness. And that if you're growing in Christ's likeness and you're growing in your ability to receive Christ, walk in Christ, you have the mind of Christ, his thoughts and his feelings, and that no longer are you thinking humanly only. You're thinking like the Son of God thinks. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are high, higher above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours. If we could just lift our hands and let's thank God today that our thought life, our love life, our faith life, all at another level, on a new plane altogether. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name that we might rise to life on a new plane altogether. We have, as it were, shared in his death. Let us rise and live our new lives with him. That new life is a new creation. That's the masterpiece. We're that new vessel, that new wineskin. This new life is the new creation man. Now, if you're born again, you're born again out of the old and into the new. You're born again and have the ability, you and I have the ability to contain the fullness of God. But God must be free in our lives. That's why the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:20 says that in nothing that I would be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, Christ Jesus be magnified in my life. The word magnified is be set free. Again, would you open your heart and lift your hands and say, Lord Jesus, be magnified in my life. Be set free in me. Lord, we thank you for that. So, you know, I think about this great new life in Christ. And I don't know if for many years, I just didn't grasp it. I thought about salvation being just getting me out of hell and punching my ticket in for heaven early on. I mean, I didn't understand what I'm going to share with you this morning. I just didn't get it. And it's really important that we understand that our salvation is so much more than God delivering us from sin. Okay, that's a big part of salvation. But he had a purpose in saving us, in salvaging us. Like, again, if you go to a salvage yard to get something out of the salvage yard, you get it for a purpose, right? You don't go down there, look through the junk, find something you like, and bring the junk back and set it on your table, do you? No, if you're going to salvage something, you got to plan to use it. Okay? And so God saved us, salvaged us, with the plan to manifest his life through us. And so the next verse means so much to me this morning. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. We have the great honor that in our calling, that God has called us that we might obtain the glory of Jesus Christ. Can we read that? 2 Thessalonians 2:14. To which he called you by our gospel, the good news, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you read that verse, again, we think future. We think when Jesus comes back in an instant, in a flash, in a blink of an eye, that which is corruptible will put on incorruption. That which is mortal will put on immortality. And that feebleness about us shall be changed. Enosh, the name for man in the Old Testament, along with Adam, the two Hebrew names for man, Adam, Adam, and Enosh. Enosh means weak, sick, feeble, pathetic man. Man that's fallen. Man that's bound by sin. That man, Jesus saved, and he's going to lift up for the purpose that his very life and glory would be inside us. That we would walk in that life, on that new plane of life. Do we understand that he called us not just to get us out of hell, but to manifest his glory? This is why you and I have been called to manifest his glory. So what do you think glory looks like? If I ask you today, what does glory look like? Do you think maybe your physical appearance would shine? Ultimately, I believe that's going to be a manifestation of the glory of God in us, that it's going to we're going to shine brightly. We're sons of God now. And the light bearer now lives in us. The one who is the great light lives in us. He said, I'm the light of the world. He ought to light us up. But I want to tell you something about glory. Glory, I hear this a lot too in Pentecostal charismatic circles. The glory cloud. You know, the glory cloud was in church that I saw it come in the back door. And, you know, I've had people tell me that they see Jesus, you know. And I'm not doubting that some see Jesus. I'm doubting that some see Jesus. Some of the ones that I have talked to. If you see Jesus, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. But don't get flaky with some weird revelation with seeing Jesus, okay? There is a possibility that Jesus would manifest to you. Okay? And so I hear a lot in the Pentecostal circles about the glory cloud. That's the Old Testament, the glory cloud. Shekinah glory came down in the temple and it filled the temple. Well, in the New Testament, the temple is not the building that you look around and see. We are the temple. We're the house. And so with the glory, the Shekinah glory, it's not an external thing. It's an internal thing. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And as that glory, as I yield to God and yield to His Word and grow up in obedience, that glory can then begin to manifest. And I obtain His glory, literally, that He is manifesting His life through me. So a glorious life is not a cloud showing up in our church. A glorious life is you being transformed and start reflecting Jesus to the world. Literally, in the Phillips translation, it tells us in 1 John 3:2 that we reflect Christ to the world. Even as Christ, in the face of Jesus, we saw the Father, in our face, Jesus is seen. And so we are reflecting Jesus to this world. And if you are walking in the glory, if you're obtaining the glory, then that means you're walking in maturity more and more doing the works of Jesus. You're doing the works of Jesus. Okay? You're manifesting His life. So obtaining of the glory is one, manifesting the life of Jesus. And then secondly, it is an amazing honor to be called His, to be the bride of Christ. How many of you counted it a great honor to be married to your spouse? Okay? I hope we all do in here today. That you counted a great honor to be in your family. You know, my kids grew up hearing this all the time. You know, we're the Stores. We do this. We're the Stores. We don't do that. We're the Stores. Now, I hope that doesn't come across prideful, but we were creating an identity in our kids that we're the Stores. This is what we do. Everybody else might do it. Were we always successful? Did my kids get in trouble like everybody else's kids? Yeah. But you know what? They quickly got out of trouble. You know, I'm telling you, when you create that identity, it's very important today that our identity, that there's an identity that we have in the Father, in Christ. Okay? An identity that I'm His. I belong to Him. The honor of being the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. Sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body you have prepared me. As is written in the volume of the book, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Now, when you read that in Hebrews 10, 5 through 7, what I just quoted is Hebrews, quoted out of Psalms 45. It's a very important verse that it tells us that Jesus was coming to the earth and God prepared Him a body through Mary for Him to be born in Nazareth. Aren't you glad that Jesus had a body? That He could walk through Galilee, that God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, justified in the Spirit, and received back up to glory. Aren't you glad the incarnation happened? That there was an incarnation of God being made flesh on the earth? That God came down and stepped into that baby inside Mary? And was, I'm so thankful. How glorious that was that night when the angels broke the heavens open and began to sing, glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill to men. For unto you this day is born a Savior. There is a Savior. God in the flesh was born in Bethlehem. And the shepherds saw that glory. And they began to tell everybody how amazingly glorious that night was when the Savior was born in Bethlehem. But I want to tell you, not maybe, I mean, I'm not going to, I guess technically, when you get born again, each one of us is an incarnation of God coming inside us. Just, you know why you're a new creation? Because Jesus is the new creation. And you're in Him. You and I, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The only reason you're a new creation is because Jesus became the new creation. Think about the glory and the honor of being called a Christian when you really understand that the fullness of God lives in you and me. Think about the honor. And then think about the dishonor of being that and still then groveling in the worms. How many of you heard the story about the eagle that was adopted by the chickens? Have you ever heard that story? You know, the eagle egg, the chickens bring the eagle egg into their, you know, coop. And the eagle is born, and it, you know, mimics those that it sees right around it as a little eaglet. And so for most of its life, as it grows up into a full-fledged eagle, it's pecking in the dirt with the worms. You know, four worms with the other chickens. But the guy's an eagle, but he's pecking around in there in the dirt looking for worms. And one day he sees a shadow go over his head. He looks up, and there is an eagle soaring. And it catches his attention. He said, well, that looks a whole lot like me. Looks a whole lot like me. And then it begins to get the idea, well, maybe I can do that. And the moral of the story goes on. I can't remember the whole illustration, but he decides he can fly. And he takes off and he starts living a different level of life. He becomes an eagle, what he was made to be. See, you have been born again, a new creation, but you could be living still in the old man and have old man thoughts. Everything about you, you're groveling in the worms, in the dirt for worms. You're looking around. Oh, church family, we have the honor and the privilege of containing God, of being a new creation. The fullness of God lives in us. This is our destiny for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus. As I think back right now, there's times in my life where I went on a bout with sin, that I did not walk in all that I could have been walking, that I embarrassed the store name, much less the name of Jesus. Because when I had my backsliding, I knew better. I had strength. I absolutely was a Benedict Arnold. For 10 years walked with the Lord. And then when I did my backsliding, oh, the pain that I felt, the shame that I felt, that I had abused the name of Jesus, that I did not consider His name. And all of a sudden, you know, the devil was just pounding me with my sins. But by the grace of God, I'd already moved to Houston, and I was working as an auditor with Exxon Company USA. And I got invited to John Osteen, Lakewood Church, and Pastor John Osteen. And sitting in that church, it was the most beautiful thing. On the first Sunday that I was invited to that church, they had the church in the round, where the stage was a circular stage, and everybody was around John as he preached. The first Sunday that I came into Lakewood Church in 1980, fall of 1980, there were eight or nine young girls, prostitutes for sure, that somebody had invited and had brought in. And those young girls, they were absolutely dressed. They were taken right off the street, okay? Those girls did not think they were going to end up in church. They'd been on the street. And those eight to nine girls were sitting one row in front of me and right to my left. And I had never been in a church that had prostitutes in the church or any, people got problems, but, you know, it wasn't like right there, you know, in front of you like that. As John began to preach on the love of God and that God had a dream for each one of us, and the gospel, the good news, the gospel, the gospel. I'd looked up and the girls had been snickering all during praise and worship. And then they started, you know, when praise and worship starts really getting strong, it started getting them. Now they shut up, but they were snickering the first 15 minutes. And now they weren't saying a word. And about halfway through John's message, all eight or nine of those girls are crying. They're all crying. The gospel was pulling them. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that morning, there were about 150 people that responded to the altar call. And all those girls got up and gave their life to Christ. You know what was so exciting about that story for me is when I left that church 6 years later, there were three or four of them that were still in that church, serving and working, and the glory of God was all over their life. The glory of God was all over their life. These stories about people coming out of darkness, coming out of even Christians that have backslid, and we know, and even in your life, maybe you had what I had. But there's something in me that's determined to live for Him now. And not to bring His name through the mud. Not to live in a subservient slave, bound up by the elementary elements of this world. That there is a call on my life to obtain His glory and to manifest that glory. And we have to understand there's nothing more glorious than the glory of Jesus Christ. And the great honor that you and I have to be called to sit with Him on His throne, to rule and reign. So I would say to you today, I ask you to fight everything in you that is beneath the name of Jesus, to wage war on it. By the grace of God, don't give in, don't submit to, don't surrender your vessel, your life, to this world and to the things of this world. Rise up and let to that new plane, to that new level of living. Look at Romans 8:28 through 30. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to the purpose of God. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among a band of brothers. The New King James says among many brethren, but it's a band of brothers. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Now, you've got to get this out of your thinking. He's glorified you now. It's not one day you're going to shine like a diamond. I do believe that's going to be a reality, that there's going to be additional manifestations of God shining out of us. But it's a life that honors God. When you obtain the glory of Jesus Christ, you've been given the very position of Jesus, seated with Him as His bride, ruling and reigning with Christ. You are His body. How honorable is that, to be the very body of Christ? But if we allow ourselves just to think that we're just Christians waiting for, you know, that I'm never going to be all that important to God, you know, I'm just a normal Christian that's waiting on the rapture. You got to get that out of your thinking. You're a son of God. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means something to God. Lift your hands right now and let's thank Him today. Thank you, Lord. On 1 Peter 2, second page, we are God's house. We're His temple. Oh, the honor of being the house of God. 1 Peter 2, 1, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Get rid of everything in your house that would cause the Holy Spirit to be grieved. Do you think unkind speech doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit? Do you think the wrath of man fulfills the righteousness of God? All evil behavior. We are to shine as stars, Philippians says. Shining as stars. We lived in an old farmhouse in Indiana in Terre Haute, outside in the country. And it had a cellar, basement. How many of you guys ever had a house with a basement? Well, we raised dogs. And, you know, when you raise dogs, you get something else with the dogs. You get fleas. If you ever raise dogs, and we're out in the country, you know. And so I remember that we would breed our dogs down in the basement, okay? And whoever went down to the basement except for those dogs, you know. But you know what? In our basement, we did a lot of canning. So canned beans, canned corn. And so we're always running down to the basement in the cellar to get our canned goods and run back up. There was a period of about 3 years where we were breeding a lot of dogs. And we got a flea infestation. And I remember that, you know, Twin, go get, you know, the corn or go get the beans or go get. Great. I'm a 10-year-old little guy. And I'm running down those stairs as fast as I could run downstairs, run to the shelf, get two or three things of corn, and run back, because by the time I got back up, you know, if you took your time, you had fleas on you. Okay? And no matter what, I mean, we worked overtime trying to get rid of fleas, but it made it uncomfortable to have fleas even in the basement. The question, as I was thinking about, we're the house of God, does our spiritual house have fleas? You can still live in it, but you're not going to be comfortable in it. Is the Holy Spirit comfortable in your life? Is He comfortable in our life? I mean, you can live with fleas, I guess. But why live with fleas? Just get the pesticides out and get rid of them. Get rid of them. So right now, it tells us in this verse, in 1 Peter 2, get rid of all evil behavior. Right now, look at your temple, look at your house. Is there anything unbecoming in it? Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk, so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. That's actually quoted out of Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but He was chosen by God for this great honor. Now watch this. And you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. If Jesus, the living cornerstone, received this great honor, then we as living stones built next to Jesus are also receiving an incredible honor. What's more, you are His holy priests. Let that sink in. You have the honor of being a living stone in the temple of God, in the house of God. Ephesians 2 says we're being built together as a habitation for God by the Spirit. Here we're the house of God, the temple of God. We are His spiritual temple. And we are His holy priests. Father, we just thank You right now that You have made us kings and priests unto You. Through the meditation of Jesus Christ, You offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. We are offering these spiritual sacrifices. As the Scripture says, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in Him will never be disgraced. Verse 7, yes, you who trust Him, Christ, you trust Jesus, recognize the honor that God has given Him. Now, drop down to the next paragraph where it says, to us who see His value. 1 Peter 2:7 in the NET translation. So you who believe see His value. And so this morning, just take our time right now. We're believers. Wave your hand if you're a believer. Do you see his value? Do you see his value? Now, the King James, New King James uses the word preciousness. Preciousness. How many of you have ever had something precious and you didn't know it was all that precious? I remember, you know, my mom had, she didn't have much from her mother and grandmother in terms of nice stuff. But she had a little bit of china, a little bit of china that she kind of kept away. I remember taking that china and drinking out of it as if it was just a common, and remember, you know, I think, I'm going to blame my twin brother for breaking it, but treating that china, not knowing it had value. You know, Amy has some glasses that go back like three generations back. And there's only like three or four of them left. I think it started out with 12 or 16. And man, do we, I can't wash them. Nobody can wash them but Amy. She's the only one that can wash them. When we do pull them out, they're so precious to Amy that she is not going to trust anybody, even though I'm the number one dishwasher in the family. That nobody can touch them because they're so precious to Amy that she's personally got to take care of them. And so to those who believe, do you see the value of who Christ is to you and your place in him? There's a lot of talk on identity now in the Bible. Everyone's talking on identity. Because I think that's the revelation that really the body of Christ needs more than probably who we are in Christ. And we don't just know it doctrinally, but you're so established in your revelation that God has given you of your absolute oneness with him and how precious this whole this gospel that we have is infinitely valuable. And we don't treat it as a common thing. We don't treat our calling as a common thing. You will have an infinitely more success rate of overcoming sin when you know you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've said this before. If you guys today, what I'm wearing, this shirt just came from the cleaners. This is clean. My socks are clean. Everything I'm wearing, I am not going to get. If you want to go play in the dirt, I'm not going to play in the dirt with you. I'll go out there and stand and look at you and throw dirt around. But I'm not going to get dirty. How many of you feel the same way? That when you're clean, you want to stay clean. But when you're dirty, what difference does it make? Church family, we're the temple of God. We have this honor of containing the glory of God. Get rid of all behavior that is beneath Christ. What are we doing running our mouth about our brothers and sisters? What are we doing judging people? When you don't know what you don't know the whole story. You might be judging my brother. But you don't know his heart was broken and he slipped into sin under a broken heart and a confused day. The Bible says in Ezekiel 34 that my people were scattered on a dark and cloudy day in their life. Not when it's sunny. The enemy comes in the day of, Psalm 18 says, the enemy came in my day of weakness. There are many people that sin grabs onto them in a feeble place in their thinking, in a weak place. They're not always walking around as champions. So what are we doing judging? Anyone can judge, but can you save? Can you save? Can you bring the saving power of God? See, are you going to manifest the glory of God? You know, today is it's really an introspective day in this message. Look at your house. Do you have anything in your house that needs to get taken out of the house? Do it. Hezekiah. In the cleansing of the temple, it took 8 days in the outer court, 8 days in the inner court. Isn't it funny that the number is eight? Eight is the number of new beginnings. And so the command that Hezekiah gave was cleanse the temple. So look at your life right now and say, what needs to be taken out of my life? It's a glorious walk. It's an honorable walk. Stand on your feet with me. How many of you see his value? Do you see his value today? On the second page, where it says, the second to the last paragraph, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We can show the goodness of God. What that means is that's glory. That means you're manifesting God's glory to this world. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. So, how many of you received God's mercy? How many of you now have an identity as the people of God, as God's people, God's son, God's daughter? You're God's body. You're Jesus' bride. You're his beloved. We have identity. We have calling. We have position. Now we have responsibility. We have a responsibility to bring the love of God to this world. This morning, as we leave, my main thought was that we would have an understanding of the value of the glory, that this glory is not a one-time glory in the future when in a blink of an eye you get changed and all that is weak about you gets taken away and you become incorruptible, indestructible, immortal. It's much more than that. It's right now today. You're the house of God. The Holy Spirit's living in you right now as a born-again believer. And he wants a clean house. He wants a house set in order. He wants you thinking a right way. There should be nobody in this church today that is harboring anything of sin. We should not be harboring unforgiveness, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. We should not be, and you notice on the back page, I said, walk in love, no more grumbling. You're the house of God. God doesn't want you grumbling. He wants you overcoming. He wants you filled with where your words are love words, faith words, that you're co-laboring with God. Adam is short-sighted. Adam is blind. Adam grovels in the dirt for worms. You are the heavenly man now. You're not the earthy man. You're the heavenly man. Make a covenant with your lips that only words of kindness. No unkind words are going to come out of your mouth again. Even if you think you're justified because a wrong has been done to you. The Bible says if you want long life and a blessing, then you don't revile when reviled. But you speak blessing. You speak blessing. You speak kindness. You speak restoration. I'm so excited about the new creation. I was such a knucklehead. And in my walk as a Christian now for 50 years, just about, you know, I guess 45, really walking with the Lord, I've had periods that I've been ashamed of. And as I look back, I can hardly remember those periods now. I only bring them up to let you know I relate to where every single one of you are. But I'm not troubled by them. They're so far in the past, under the blood, so buried under the blood. You know, what's behind the blood, no man or devil has a right to bring out and parade. So all my backsliding days, I just can kind of remember the shame and the pain. But it's not causing me fear today. I'm so glad that as far as the east is from the west, the Lord has removed my iniquities from me. What has grieved me is the numbness, is sometimes the slothfulness that as a believer that understands this, has seen it, that I would not live with a daily excitement of it. And I talked to the Lord about this. Am I not sincere? You cannot for one second let your flesh rule you, because it will take you away from God every single time. And you'll be justified, because something would, the devil will give you all the reasons and all the excuses to live with that anger, that frustration, or that. And what it will do, it will numb you to the exciting, exhilarating, over-the-top life that God created us to be. Think how cool it is to walk with God. When you could have been, 1 Corinthians 3, when you could have been sons of God, you walked as mere men. So, I see the value of the new creation today. I see the value of Jesus being lifted up as the chief cornerstone in the temple. And that I see the value that I am part of that temple. And that I am ruling and reigning with Christ. And I shake myself from all lethargy, from all spiritual blindness today, to grasp my destiny, that I have the very glory of Jesus. I've been called to walk in His glory, to manifest His glory. And we must do this. Church, what an exciting life. Put everything behind you today that would cause you to be weak and feeble. Reach out for His glory. It's a new day. If you need to put something under the blood today, if you just need to get the Word of God out and fumigate your basement and kill every last flea. If you don't, you know what we found out in our house for that little period of time? Fleas don't stay in the basement. They got in upstairs. The little foxes will spoil the vines. You got to attack every bit of darkness, every bit of compromise, by the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and then you put on that best robe, the robe of Christ's own righteousness, and you shake yourself and you ask the Holy Spirit to shake you to where you can clearly see your destiny in Him. And you walk worthy of the vocation, the calling wherewith He has called you. Putting aside, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. God's moving in. He says, be holy, for I am holy. I took Amy to the airport Friday morning at 5 in the morning. Emily and I are in the car waiting, and we're waiting. We're waiting. What is Amy doing? Finishing up, of all things, the kitchen. I mean, what? I could do that. But, ladies, you might have the same thought. Somebody might come in the house. They're not coming in and seeing a dirty house. Let's clean up. Let's get a house ready for the Master's indwelling. Because if we are, we'll be a vessel, it says, if any man will take care of these things, sanctification, consecration, he will be a vessel unto honor, meet for the Master's use, prepared for every good work of manifesting His glory to this world. I don't want to be a common vessel, a dog bowl. I mean, you want to be a dog bowl. I don't want to hold dog food. I want His glory to manifest. Amen? Receive this word today in Jesus' name.